That's good. I know very little about Taylor, so that's okay. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 2 to verse 10. The book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 10. Let's stand up, please. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, having all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. The Bible says your word is like a hammer that breaks hard rocks. It's like fire that burns. You send your word to heal our diseases. The word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. The word is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder. Lord, you divide the thoughts and the attitudes of my heart. This night we come before you. May your word do exactly that to the hearts that are listening today. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank God for the privilege to be close to seeing 2011. 2010 has been a blessing to us and our family. We've learned a lot. God has helped us each day. I am not where I was 2009. I grew up in Christ. I am hoping when I stand again in this church next year, I'll be different. My desire is to continually grow in the grace of God. I don't want to remain where I am all the time. I don't want to be keeping doing the same things I did last time. I need to grow. When this Jubilee comes this time, I want to listen and hear, God, what are you speaking to me about? So when it's done, I want my life different after that's done. When I come here every Sunday, when the preacher preaches, I want to live different. I should not be the same person that came in, the same person going out. I want to take out my diapers, grow up into a youth, then become a youth and all. I want to grow in the Christian faith. Bible says we are to grow from grace to grace, strength to strength. That's the desires of my heart. And as I look at 2011, I feel like God has given me everything I need for 2011. Everything that I need for 2011. You know, when a child is born, let me say when this conception, right from the conception, when the conception, I have to be careful, you know, when you're a doctor, you speak some things you think they're normal, but they're not normal to other people. I was saying something to somebody and say, what? Because I thought I should just be saying that, but So, during conception, when the conception begins, everything that is needed for you in life, it's there. Right from the beginning. Just when those two things come together just like that, and is declared a conception, you have everything you need for life. Everything. You have your fingers, you have your nails, you have your eyes, you have your collar, you have everything. Everything is right there. Turn to the book of Psalm 139, and this is what the scripture says. 139, the book of Psalm 139. I am going to learn to preach for 10 minutes. I come from Africa. We preach the whole day. So now, preaching for 10 minutes is an introduction. Not really. In Africa, introduction takes 30 minutes. The preaching takes an hour. All right. All right. Psalm 139. The Bible says in verse 16, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." In other words, before anything became, he had written out everything. So when you're born again, when you're born in Christ, when you become a believer, it comes like a conception. Everything you'll ever need as a Christian is put in you. Now, the issue is you need to grow. But everything God wants to do with you, when you get saved, he's put it right there. But you can unveil it or unwrap it, or you can remain closed up to the end. It's up to you to grow. So in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, verse 2 to verse 10, the Bible says, particularly in verse 2, let me read verse 2 again in verse 3. I want to give my wife permission. If I go past 10 minutes, just walk here and tell me go sit down. I think you're the only one who can have the courage to do that. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain, number one, unto life, and number two, unto godliness." Everything I need that pertain to life and to godliness hath been given to me by the divine power of God. So what I need for 2011, I have it. I just need to find it. It's on the shelf. God says, "Son, do you need more grace for 2011? Look on the shelf. It's there. Pick it up. You need more of this? It's on the shelf. I put it there for you. Take it." Now, it's up to me to walk to the shelf and take it. If I don't take it, I will struggle trying to make it by myself. But if I look back and say, "Oh, there is, I will pick it. If I go through the scripture and I'm struggling with the thing in my life, struggling to change, "Lord, what do I do this?" You say, "You have not read my letter, have you? You didn't read the letter I sent you about this thing?" If I'm struggling with anxiety in my life, he says, "I got it for you, son. It's in Philippians chapter 4. Just look for it." And then I go to Philippians chapter 4, and he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards your heart and minds in Christ." He says, "Yeah, I told you." So the scripture says, everything I need for life, as I think about what do I do about tomorrow, what I do about this man I work with that doesn't listen to me, what I do about this habit in my life I'm struggling with, what do I do about this brother who doesn't, we just don't seem to agree, what do I do about these words I had somebody say to me, what do I do about these things? God say, "I've given you everything that pertains to life, normal life of dealing with my children, of dealing with my wife, of dealing with my brethren. God has given me what I need for 2011. It's there. It's been given to me. I just need to go and get it." Then he says, "I've given you also everything you need for godliness, for living a godly life." You know, Sometimes I will say, Lord, maybe this is not, maybe I shouldn't be here, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. He says, I've given you, you have no excuse. Don't tell me that everybody is doing it. Don't tell me that everybody, the billboards are there. Don't tell me that it's easier to look at sin now than it was before. Son, I've given you what you need to live a godly life. Amen. He has given it to you. Now, this is how he does it. When you come to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says this. Hebrews 13, verse 5. And we'll read in verse 6 also. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6. The scripture says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. There are things you need to do in verse 5. You need to live your life without covetousness. You need to be content with such things as ye have. Why? Because he has said, I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you. After verse 5 is fulfilled, then you go to verse 6 and say, so that now I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But you have to look at verse 5 first. I have to leave my conversation should be without covetousness. And I should be content with such things as I have. You know what gets us into trouble? Stuff. You just need one stuff, another stuff, another stuff. Stuff, 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 stuff. You want the stuff that you really don't need. I told my Sunday school class, the most dangerous place to stop is a yard sale. You buy things you don't need. But because they're very cheap. You know, you go there. I've never gone board skating. I don't know how to do it. But here I go to a yard sale, and boards are being sold for $1. I say, $1? $1? I take it. Where am I taking them? Stuff. Just buying stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He says, this is what you need for life. Now, Paul is struggling, and he's asking God to help him get through some situations in his life. And Paul says three times, God, please just take this thing away from me. Make life a little bit easier for me. Let me get through it. I'll appreciate if you take it away. God says, no, Paul, I know it's there, but I've given you what you need for this situation. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, the Bible says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God did not take it away. God gave him the grace he needed to live the life at that time. Paul testifies again in the book of Acts. He says, they have been through the seas for several days, 200 men on the ship. They have had a shipwreck. Everybody's not eating for 14 days. Then Paul stands up and says, man, I warned you, if we had not come this way, we'll not go through what we're going through. But last night, the God whom I serve stood by me and said, nobody's going to die. God has given you everything you need to live this life. This year, I testify, I experienced of this goodness of the Lord when he says, I got it for you. It's somewhere. Just look for it. I've got it for you. Be patient. I have it. And you can leave it. Now let's look at godliness. What has given us? What he says, I've given you the potential life and then unto godliness. Sometimes you go through situations in your life, and many of you have testified, and you wonder, is this really what I should be going through? Why me? Now, why don't you ask yourself, why not me? You know, God looks at you and says, that one will make it. I had a friend of mine, he's in Iowa. He's about 30 years old. And I received a call one time from his wife. He said, Mark is in the hospital. He's just been diagnosed with leukemia. We don't know how long he's going to live. He's been rushed to the hospital. They say, we don't know what's going to go on. I had, the first time I came to this country, I came for mission field, for mission in Iowa for 4 months. And so Mark was one of the people who dealt with the Lord, and God did something for his life. So I called him at the hospital. He was broken. He has two children. He was looking at death. His wife just realized their life was going to end in a few minutes. And I called Mark. I said, Mark, I really believe that God knew this before. And God just knew that nobody else could handle leukemia except you. And God has looked all over America and said, I've found a man. I found a man I can trust with leukemia, and he won't deny me. I said, Mark, don't look at this as a challenge. Look at it as a privilege. A privilege that God would count on you to go through this kind of disease and stand for him. That just turned his life completely around. And instead of looking at it as a situation that was being beaten to death, he looked at it as a privilege that God had counted on him. And some of you here, God has counted on you. You say, why are my kids going the wrong direction? Why do I have this disease? Why have I to go through this operation and this operation? Because God looked around everywhere. He couldn't find a man. He couldn't find a woman. He said, I found one at Gateway. I will let him have it, and he will testify about me by the end of it. It's a privilege to be counted, to be trusted by God on some situations. They are painful, but God, he knows he couldn't give it to somebody else. The book of Romans chapter 10, sorry, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He says, I've given you all things that pertain to godliness. You can make it. God can help you make it. By yourself you will not, but by God's power you will. 1 Corinthians 10, here he's warning us about several things that the children of Israel did. And then he comes to verse 13 and says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God looks at you and say, when my children were going to college, the fear of the world, the fear of other things, and of course up to today, God, are they going to make it? Did we prepare them enough? Did we train them enough? Did we teach them what they need to know? Can they stand by themselves? Can they say no to what they need to say no to? But when God looks at you, before God brings something my direction, he looks, I believe it comes to his table, and he looks at it just like Job's situation came to his table. And he looks at it and says, okay, this is what you want to do with him? Yeah. This is what you want to do? Yes. And he looks at it and says, I think he'll make it. Go ahead. So it comes to you. And guess what comes when it comes to you? You begin to complain and grumble and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Do you still really love me? Are you there? But God just boasted about you, said, my son will make it. My daughter will make it. Let him have it. I've given him all he needs to survive through the situation. I know he'll make it. And when we look at it that way, he says, no temptation, no temptation. If I give in to seduction, it's because I chose to. Not because there was not enough strength from God to defend me. If I give in to stealing, it's because I chose to steal. It's not that because God was limited. If I give in to sin, it's because I decided to. Because God looked at that sin before it came. And he said, he will make it. He will make it. I've given him what he needs to say no to this sin. I've given him what he needs to get through this thing. I've given him what he needs not to deny me. So if I choose to fail, it's because I decided to. Even with all the power, with all the signal, with all the things that we have, as Brother Ben was preaching earlier on, I just decided to sin. So when I come to sin, I just have to say, Lord, I'm sorry I did it. Not because, you know, everybody was doing it, I was pushed into it, there was nothing else to do. I did not look for the way of escape. No temptation has come to you. except what's common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above that you're able. But in every temptation, he will provide a way. Then, as we wait for going to heaven, he says, stay around for a little while. Romans 8, 28, 29. We probably know Romans 8, 28 by memory, but let's read verse 29. And I can almost see my wife standing up to come pick me up from here. I'm almost done, Amelia. Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. In verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that in all things, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All that God is going to be doing in 2011 in my life is going to be conforming me to the image of his son. All he has been doing in my life this year is conforming me to the image of his son. That's why I'm still here. He's every day, he says, I want you to be like my son. So I'm going to chop this out of your life. I'm going to block that one. I'm going to bring this into your life. I want you to be like my son. So he's working on my life. He's working on your life. He's working on you day and night. Does God care that you're sick? He, of course he does. Does God care that you're hurting? Of course he does. Does God care that you fail an exam? Yes, he does. He loves you so much. If it took his own son for you to be alive in him, will he not care about other things in your life? He does. That's why we say at this church, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. In his nature, it is good. There's no sin in him. So you're prepared for 2011. If you're a student, God has prepared you. If you go to school, God has prepared you. You can say no to sin because he has given you the power. You have all you need. You have all you need for godliness and to live this normal life. I am thankful to God. I praise God for his mercies in our life. God has been faithful to us. God has loved us. God has provided for us. God has met our need. God has given birth things in our life that have helped us come closer to him every day. I believe we are here because we're supposed to be here. I don't think I'm at Gateway by mistake. I'm at Gateway because at this time, I need to be at Gateway. I don't know about the other time, but at this time, I need to be here as God gives grace and mercy to my life. Are you ready for 2011? Are you born again? Now, if you're not born again, these things don't apply to you. You're not prepared. But if you are not born again, you could be prepared tonight for God's grace to abide on your life. You have everything you need. So this night, 2011, change your prayer life. Don't say, why me? Say, Lord, thank you for this. Now teach me. What do I need to do? And God will help us. Pastor.